Now is the hour.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Time, gentlemen, time.
The publican,
the pub's owner,
used to proclaim that every afternoon and again at night,
last orders, he would call out, because by law the British used to close down their bars for a few hours every afternoon, and then at a certain fixed hour in the early morning. And the effect of calling out time was to stir up thirst. Now or never, the frequenters of the pub would think, at least not again until this evening or until tomorrow, before they could get another drink. And this was always very good for business. Time, children, time. Mother Church proclaims today, the kingdom of God is at hand. So make your way, last chance. Push through the crowds and give in your last order to put order into your life. The hymn that St. Ambrose wrote for the church's matins, we sing it on Monday mornings on ferial days, captures the sense of this, how the church feels this Advent Sunday, a desperate sort of thirst which only the Holy Ghost can slake. With the coming of Christ so very close, laeti bibamus sobriam ebrietatem spiritus. Literally, it means, joyfully may we drink the Spirit's sober drunkenness. Ladies and gentlemen, time. Last orders. Time. Isn't it? Are we there yet? How do you read the signs of the times in the sun and in the moon and in the stars? Are we in the end times? A well-meaning Catholic lady wrote this summer to reproach the traditional Catholic clergy in general for failing, firmly enough in her view, to call out time, the end times. Too much of that business, she finds, of not knowing the day or the hour. She believes we could learn a thing or two from those Protestant preachers who, with the newspaper in one hand and the Bible in the other, have a timetable all figured out, which is, of course, entirely to miss the point, to end up a self-trained and self-satisfied scripture speaker. With everything all wrapped up and all ready for the rapture, and you too, but far too smug to get into the kingdom, because the Savior says, look, harlots and publicans are preceding you there. No, how our Lord wants us to feel today is a little bit of edge. Almost the thought, oh, it's here. It's closing time. And this is thirsty work. This last time's living. I need a drink. Dear Jesus, give me to drink of the water from your side. So St. Gertrude prayed, and so should we. It is time for us to get serious, to cast off the works of darkness and drunkenness. Did you hear it? Is one of them enumerated by St. Paul in today's epistle. So how about giving up for Advent just when everybody else is drinking up. It's surely time as well to realize what time can do. It robs us of our readiness. It dulls our edge. It quiets our outrage. It quenches our thirst on something other than the Spirit. My favorite TSA story, TSA, I interpret that as terrorist security agency, the people who bother you if you want to get on a plane at an airport. I call them that, and that not without reason, because the end result of this elaborate security show in which the would-be traveler briefly has a starring role is indeed to make travel safe for the terrorists. Because the real ones are not being caught, are they? Who is that man? Obama, Osama, something like that. I think one of our wars was supposed to be to get him. And we never did. No, we're too busy stripping and probing and photographing the grandmothers. Or this happened to an aunt of mine on the way to the funeral of another aunt earlier this month. Poor Aunt Jean. She's 80, in her 80s, and she's quite thin, an emaciated lady. Her ribs show through. And don't you know, maybe there'd be a knife or a gun in there? So somebody marched her off and made her strip in front of a stranger just to get to the funeral. My favorite TSA comment this month comes from a lady, I believe she was a physician, who downplayed the drama of the new nude machines and searches. It's been 10 years, she reasoned, since 9/11, so the American public should be desensitized by now. Besides, she went on, I'm from San Francisco, and we're used to nudity there. Poor St. Francis. But isn't that true of our entire land? Indeed, it's the old lobster in the pot story. And he's well cooked before he realizes it. He too had plenty of time to be desensitized. Have you gotten used to living with an Antichrist living in the White House or in the Vatican Palace? It was Archbishop Lefebvre who first set us on this train of thought. The president, whom so many mistake for a Muslim and not enough recognize for a radical socialist revolutionary of the Saul Alinsky school, has stripped away the last shreds of dignity and of modesty for a flying public. Why? To prepare us to obey silently and without question every order from our masters, and especially to spare the sensibilities of the Mohammedans amongst us, and that in the name of political correctness. They cannot be fingered as potential terrorists, and we all of us have to be handled now. And there were a few days, no more than 10, of revolt on the part of the public. And if I'm not mistaken, our masters blinked and they temporized for a moment. But then life went on, didn't it? And Americans lost a bit more liberty and an awful lot more of dignity. And modesty? Well, there wasn't much left of that already,
was there. Meanwhile, that crafty old revolutionary Ratzinger, along with Hans Küng, one of the two living fathers of Vatican II's atomic bomb attack on the Catholic Church, he's released a book called Light of the World, which shows he has a sense of humor, to remind Catholics who claim, against all evidence, that he is a true pope, a vicar of Christ, that if he is, then the gates of hell have prevailed against the Catholic Church. Because if sacrilege, the communion in the hand, the original means of making people disbelieve in the real presence, if scandal, all of the confusion now about this whole matter of AIDS and the rest of it, and if heresy, the latest bold and black on white heresy, the Jews are good with their old covenant and stand in no need of conversion or of baptism. If these three be official policy of the Vatican II Church, and they have been for a long, long time, then either the gates of hell have prevailed, or that entity which calls itself the Catholic Church is not. And that man whose idea, whose plotting this revolution is not the Pope. Two radical revolutionaries, and as respectable as the day is long, busy stripping everything holy and decent from our country and from our church. They belong together. They, taken together, certainly. Now, how does St. Luke phrase it today in the Gospel? Make waves and cause confusion. And if you, my friend, are not withering away from fear and expectation of what shall come upon the whole world, oh, ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Ghost is calling time. And if you particularly are not feeling any sense of urgency, no thirst, at this time, well, as the lady from San Francisco commented, we've had plenty of time to get desensitized. And besides, we're used to nudity. May God help us, and may the Mother of God's Immaculate Heart be our refuge yet. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.